starting pitching, that's all that it's ever really been about, and the Cubs have been getting an awful lot of it.
Yeah, it was great to see some of the guys that that we were worried about, and not we, meaning Brian and I, but the listeners. We were getting a lot of calls about Quintana, getting a lot of calls about you, Darvish. You couldn't help but wonder what was going on with some of these guys, and instead, you get what you thought you were paying for. You get this group of players, this pitching staff that one after the other just kind of shut down and mow down the pesky Brewers, who they've got to be sitting there wondering what the hell went wrong with their bats after that series.
And they didn't play poorly either. I mean, there were a couple of gaffes where they didn't catch a few balls, but from most part, they pitched extremely well, too. The Cubs took advantage of all the opportunities that were out there, made the big defensive plays with the high skies and the wind conditions, huge plays by Almora and Baez and the usual group of good defenders. And that was the difference there. But you're right, Mike, the idea that Milwaukee, it looks up here and it's not even May, and they've lost 7 of 8 to the Cubs, and going back to last year, 10 out of 12. It's not a really good feeling going on there for the Brewers. And although statements in April are usually not huge for teams, this got the Cubs right back to where they needed to be.
And I really liked hearing what Chatwood had to say about the visit from Contreras to the mound, because Tyler Chatwood throws one strike in 8 pitches, walks Lorenzo Cain on 4, and then he gets a nice play by Chris Bryant, and he gets out of the inning with the 3-6-1 double play. But when Contreras goes out there and says, you know, basically just trust our game plan and trust that you're going to have a good day, and really settles the guy down. And I mentioned Contreras because he's also, it bothered me. It was certainly interesting that he's asking for an interpreter now, because we know what he said about Yu Darvish, and we know that he tried to walk those comments back the next day, and probably heard from somebody within that clubhouse, if not in the organization. What's going on with him? I mean, did he get shell shocked a little bit that he heard about making comments about you, Darvish?
Yeah, I mean, the blowback was significant for him, and as you said, Brian, very astutely, the idea that a player or two and the front office got involved would not be surprising to me, but front office doesn't usually have to get involved with the Chicago Cubs, because they police themselves extremely well in that clubhouse, and there are a lot of leaders there. So from the perspective of how it didn't look good, you know, I can understand how Contreras now used the interpreter, and he did that yesterday, of course, after the game. He different from most interpreters, he hears the question, and then he answers it to the interpreter. He doesn't wait for the interpreter to ask the question. So he's in a protect mode right now from being deemed a bad teammate by calling out Darvish. But it was the right thing. I think everybody felt it was the right thing. And Darvish himself obviously responded from it as well.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting to see that happen, because, you kind of want that kid to be free in terms of the way he plays, the way he talks to people. I like the idea that they did get to him somehow, but I don't know. You can move past that, right? You don't have to start.
Yeah, I mean, I think controlling personalities is a bad idea.
Yeah.
Controlling your emotions as a player is important on the field. Off the field, the guy, all he wants is the best performance from himself and his teammates. Maybe they felt he expressed it incorrectly. But you look on the other side of town and you see another player expressing himself in 2 consecutive series and having problems with other people. And the White Sox are not coming down on Tim Anderson for expressing the joy of a good moment or the joy of the game, even though there's been some mistakes made along the way and some exceptions taken to the way that he acts. And, again, you have young athletes, extremely talented players establishing themselves. There'll be some mistakes along the way. And also, you don't want to kill what motivates them, what makes them good.
You know, and when we look at what the Cubs did to the Brewers, winning all 4 of those games and not, you know, generating just enough offense, but holding the Brewers to 1 earned run and 2 or fewer hits through those games, it's really remarkable, but that doesn't mean that the Brewers don't go to Cincinnati tonight and put up an eight spot, because they're capable of doing that. Was that, should we read into the starting pitching has turned a corner here, or was it taking advantage of the wind blowing in and being smart about it? Or, you know, because I look at this thing, Bruce, and I said, right now, if the Cubs play as they're capable of playing and the offense really gets going here, they shouldn't see 500 again this season.
Well, yeah, I mean, certainly the conditions were great for pitching. You know, most of the weekend series, the outfielders were playing, you know, probably 50 feet in from their normal position. So they could cheat. You know, you didn't see very many home runs, if any at all, you know, during the whole weekend. Shaw hit a ball with the bases loaded that would have been a grand slam that would have turned that game around on Friday if conditions were even slightly different. So they are a factor, but you're right about Milwaukee. They came in on an 8-game winning streak. They had gone on a long streak right after the Cubs beat them 3 out of 4 up in Milwaukee in the beginning of the month. And, you know, so it's not like they're going to be eliminated. It's not like it's over with for them. But I think from the perspective of the Cubs, two things. One, consistency of the weather warming up, and the starters just getting out there, starting to be able to feel like themselves, you know, going 6-7 innings, doing what they're paid to do. You know, this is a highly paid, you know, highly thought of rotation that the Chicago Cubs have. Most people think it might not be the best, you know, 1-2-3, but many people think it's the deepest rotation in baseball, and it started to look like that over the weekend.
It's interesting when I look at the White Sox and the way that they won the first few games in that series, and then, of course, they end up losing the last two. And, you know, I justified it in my mind by saying, well, at least Kansas City's not running away with the tank, you know, the Sox are still there. There are a lot of tanking teams. I mean, it seems like there's more this year than you usually see. I'm not going to tell you the Sox are one of them, but it's weird to want your team to lose so they don't get too far ahead of another tanking team.
It really is, and if you think Kenny Williams and you know, Rick Hahn and Jerry Reinsdorf want them to lose every game when they go out there, they don't. On the other hand, would they like to be in the top two or three picking next June like they are this year, picking number four? The answer is yes. So how do you accomplish that? Well, as executives, you're looking at the progress of the Moncadas and the Andersons, the Giolitos, the Lopezes, and at the same time, you're not going out and getting the huge support group behind them. You're not putting money into veterans that you're not ready to purchase. So when you see a guy like Avisail Garcia go down, the White Sox are more apt to go out and get a waiver claim like Trace Thompson than they are to bring up a developing young player who's not quite ready yet. And that's the conundrum. That's the problem that the White Sox and teams who are quote-unquote tanking are doing right now is the developmental plan is to keep the young players down in the system, not bring them up just because you need somebody at the major league level. And that leads to an awful lot of losses during the year. And that's going to be the case for the White Sox. Doesn't mean they won't get better. Doesn't mean those core players aren't going to get better. But, you know, bringing in reliable people to necessarily help you win is not part of the equation.
You've been around Chris Bryant since he arrived on the scene. What is your take about him now that he's obviously wearing the C-flap as a protective thing? He said he just didn't wear it in high school and college, but or college and the pros now, but he's going back to it. Does he seem like a guy? He talked very introspective, talking about how this game can be taken away from you, but do you think he's a different guy, or is it going to take him some time to get back to being Chris Bryant?
Brian, I don't think there's any fear in the guy other than the normal fear of any human being having a 95-mile-an-hour fastball coming straight at your eyes and at your face. No matter how fearless you are, that's going to be a scary moment. From the perspective of getting it back, we saw over the weekend he was a tad off, you know, when he came off. I don't see any problem with him. He's still looking at pitches. He's just a little bit off from having sat for, 4 or 5 days I don't see any problem with them. I mean, you know, again, wearing the flap is probably a good idea for every player, as long as it doesn't get in the way of them, you know, seeing the baseball. You know, these days with all the velo that's there from so many different pitchers, it's hard to react. We saw that with Chris. It was just a difficult situation. I think the Cubs handled it well. I think that Brian handled it well. I don't see any problems for him.
Yeah, you know, it's weird. I mean, we're almost creating problems that might not exist, worrying about whether the catcher has to subjugate his personality or the third baseman is thinking about his career. It just seems like, you know, what a hell of a weekend. They should feel really good about it, and you're moving forward.
And how do the Brewers feel leaving town?
If I'm the Brewers, Bruce, I'm sitting there like, what trade can we make? What pitcher can we get? How do we compete?
Well, they're short on pitching.
Yeah.
And, you know, they're waiting for Nelson to come back, and they have a good team. I mean, you know, but they lose Thames, and that hurts them. That's a left-handed bat. The top of the order is so much better for them this year, you know, with Kane and Yelich. Those are outstanding players, and they're going to help them compete all year long. But the pitching is one thing that they need to probably address if they're going to stay with the Cubs this year, and that is adding one more starting pitcher down the road here, because you don't know how their injured guy is going to come back. You don't know how Nelson's going to come back. So from that perspective, if they're going to add and stay in the race all the way, I think they need to add another pitcher. But they're a good team, and they're a very confident team. I as you said, they can go into Cincinnati and sweep and just pick up where they're left off. I don't think the Cub losing syndrome is going to hang with them. They're pretty good.
Great stuff, Bruce. Thank you, buddy.
Guys, have a great week. Talk to you soon.
All right, pal. That's our guy, Bruce Levine, and we are going to have a little transition next. We'll talk to our midday show. Mully and Hanley on the Score.
Listen to 670 The Score anytime, anywhere. Download the radio.com app and...
Illinois CyberKnife deploys revolutionary technology in the fight against prostate cancer in just 5 outpatient treatments. With CyberKnife treatment for prostate cancer, there's no pain, no surgery, and you can go back to your normal activities right after treatment. Prostate cancer doesn't fight fair. Neither should you. For more information, contact Illinois CyberKnife at 847-723-0100 or visit IllinoisCK.com. A service of Advocate Lutheran General Hospital. No case is typical. Results will vary by patient, and there's no guarantee you'll experience these results. Suburban Tire, Chicagoland's premier tire dealer, is proud to be the provider of Michelin and BF Goodrich tires. Stop by today and receive the spring special of $120 off any set of Michelin or BF Goodrich tires and a free alignment. Suburban Tire is offering oil changes as low as $20 and brake service as low as $80. For over 40 years, Suburban Tire has been providing honest advice on tires, automotive repairs, and maintenance. Visit their flagship location in Glendale Heights or any of their 5 family-owned locations, or go to suburbantire.com. 630-790-1600. Thanks for streaming The Score. Chicago Sports Radio 670.
Mully and Hanley mornings 5 to 9 a.m.
Cubs pitching coach Jim Hickey joins us. You know, you hate to concentrate on the weather, but it is having an effect on everyone. Just curious, how does that affect the pitcher if you are ready to start one day and it turns out you're starting the next day? And it just seems like everyone's kind of off rhythm. It's so herky-jerky. Does it bother a pitcher when they are scheduled to start?
I think it can bother a pitcher, but I don't think it's really bothered us so much in this instance right here. We really haven't gotten into any kind of a rhythm yet. I mean, if you're pitching every 5 days and you're coming off, you know, 3 games in a row where you're just, you know, throwing 7 innings or 7 plus innings and rolling, and then you get, you know, out of your routine, that may be a little bit troublesome, a little bit bothersome, but I really don't think that's really much of a factor right now.
Mully and Hanley mornings 5 to 9 a.m. on Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com. Chicago Sports Station.
Thanks for streaming The Score. Listen to the Lawrence Holmes Show, nights 6 to 10.
Talking with Bob Babich, who's now the Bills linebackers coach. He was Bears defensive coordinator, Bears linebackers coach, and he is going to present Brian Urlacher in Canton to the Hall of Fame.
It was amazing. During the games, I used to make the guys sit down on the bench, and he liked to watch the game. And I'd come over and I'd say, hey, on play number 3, he'd say, oh, yeah, the time's about resuscitated to be gap. I said, yep. play number seven, oh, yeah, the corner should have jammed him inside. I should have ran through the middle. After that, I start saying, you go watch the game, and I'll just go ahead and grab you when I need to tell you something. It was amazing the recall he had and the understanding of the scheme that he had.
Lawrence Holmes, nights 6 to 10 on Sports Radio 670 The Score, Chicago's sports station.
Dustin here with an opportunity to get a career in under a year, a real opportunity to train for relevant careers in fast-growing media industry without years of courses. The Illinois Media School will have so many of you out there, and the Illinois Media School will prepare you with hands-on training by real industry pros in areas like social media, YouTube, on-air TV and radio talent, production, video and audio editing, camera and control room operations, or if you're into sports, get in the game like never before with careers in areas like play-by-play and sports commentating, sports live broadcast, sports talk show, and there is so much more. For more than 30 years, the Illinois Media School has graduated media professionals that are working in media companies, stations, and networks all over the country. Enrollment is at an all-time high. Space is limited. Tell them Dustin sent you and graduate in months, not years, without decades of debt. Flexible hours and financial aid available to those of you who qualify. Call the Illinois Media School. Do it right now. 630-916-1700. 630-916-1700. That's 630-916.
Progressive presents Get Pumped. Inspiration to help you do insurance stuff.
Okay, time out. You're going to let your budget be the boss of you? Take control with Progressive's Name Your Price tool. Tell us what you want to pay for car insurance, and we'll help you find options that fit your budget. Here's some music to get you pumped. Da-dong-da-dong-da-dong-da-dong-dang-dang. I hear your budget laughing at you. Oh, wait, that's just those kids laughing at me. Ignore them!
Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Thanks for streaming The Score.
The new McNeil and Parkin Show. Afternoons 1 to 6.
Yeah, be there. Every roster should have three quarterbacks on it. You're always one hit away from going to your number two. And when that happens, you want to be combing the street for your backup's backup? I don't. I want a guy who understands my offense's language.
Mac is back. Joining Danny Parkins on your ride home. 1 to 6. Only on Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com. Chicago's sports station. Thanks for streaming The Score. Chicago Sports Radio 670. The new Bernstein and McKnight Show. Middays 9 a.m. to 1.
And the Bernstein and McKnight Show now joined by Crane Kenny, the Cubs president of business operations.
The pictures I've seen of the dugouts are, it's incredible. I mean, I don't know how you were able to create that kind of space in there. I've been in there, Dan, you've been in there. I don't know how you find it. It's remarkable to me.
What they did in 1914 when they built the ballpark is they just built the foundations right on top of the sand. So when you pulled that curtain aside, you said, wow, what's back there? No, it's just sand. So we took out 12 tons of sand. We had a dump truck leaving here every 10 minutes for 40 straight days.
Yeah, I remember that. I live right around the place.
Yeah, unfortunately for our neighbors, that wasn't great. But that we just basically dug out what had been there for 100 years to create the space.
Dan Bernstein, now in middays, joined by returning Score guy Connor McKnight, 9 a.m. to 1, only on Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, Chicago's sports station. You're listening to Chicago's original sports talk station, Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, WSCR and HD Chicago, WBMX HD2 Chicago.
This segment brought to you by Frontline Plus. Warmer weather means more time outside, but it can also mean more bugs. So don't forget to protect your pets with the number one name in flea and tick protection, Frontline Plus. Buy it today.
I think we're all looking forward to the RPO stuff and what we're going to see from your new head coach and the Bears. There's kind of an offensive jolt in some time, and I think everybody is very pumped up at the possibilities.
Or fired up, as you like.
I'm not going to say that anymore. We're excited.
Molly and Hanley, Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. Fun to talk to Ryan Pace on a high note. The draft just ending, the offseason just ending. And we want to thank everybody for calling and texting and emailing. And most of all, thank you a ton for listening. It means a lot to us.
It sure does each and every day. We appreciate it. And we will be back bright and early tomorrow morning live at 5. So please join us.
And we want to thank Dustin Rhodes for being the best producer in radio and Kevin Zipak for being the best Kevin Zipak in radio. And, of course, Ray Diaz We also want to thank...
Only the third best Ray Diaz in radio, though, oddly enough.
It's weird crack, how many Ray Diazes are in radio, so it's not fair.
He's nice guy, Ray.
We've got Alex Harris sat in with us today. Alex, thank you for getting up with us. Jeff Grimes is here.
Ring out Ahoya.
Ring out Ahoya. Marquette grad. So we've had a fun, full house in the Boyquarium, as it's called. And now it's time to bring in the midday show. And a delight to welcome in Dan Bernstein and Connor McKnight. Gentlemen,